Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're broadcasting from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays, where they are raising funds to help support our Minnesota military and their families. And in a moment, we'll meet my guest host for the show today, retired Major General Harry Sieben. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Military kids play an important role in the life of a military family. They give our service members encouragement, love, and hope for the future. They're a special group of kids, and in times of separation from their military parent, they have a unique set of challenges. We've learned over the years that one of the best ways to nurture and empower military kids is by connecting them with other military kids. They might be the only one in their school with a parent in the military, but there are others going through the same things across the state. This month, more than 200 National Guard youth are spending a week at Camp Ripley, making friends with other military kids. In addition to learning some military traditions like marching, calling cadence, and retiring the American flag, the youth, ages 10 to 15, will experience a week jam-packed with fun. They'll complete an Army obstacle course, learn archery, shoot on the rifle range, ride in military vehicles, go canoeing and swimming, and have plenty of campfire time. But besides just having fun, one of the goals of the camp is to assist youth in gaining an understanding of why their parent serves in the National Guard. The idea for youth education program for the Minnesota National Guard was first established in 1988. By 1991, the first annual camp welcomed 100 kids and 35 volunteers. Since that time, the youth camp program has developed into a nonprofit organization led by a board of directors. Since then, they have connected hundreds and hundreds of kids and volunteers. Make sure your military youth takes part in next year's camp. Registration usually opens in early spring. Find out more about this and other youth programs at beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As we said at the opening, we're broadcasting from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. Hey! Where they're raising funds today to help the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. My co-host for the show today is retired Major General Harry Sieben, who was also the 48th Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives a few years ago, and a founding partner of the personal injury law firm of Sieben, Gross, Von Holtzman and Carey. General, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, and thank the TGIF St. Louis Park.
General, you had a nice long military career. I understand, and I just found this out in some research today, that you started back in 1968 as a Morse code intercept operator. I didn't know that, General.
Morse code intercept. They don't use it any place in the world anymore, so I guess it doesn't give me much service right now.
Good thing you changed out of that and got commissioned in 75. And your career in the Minnesota National Guard was a long one. You ended up being acting adjutant general for the state of Minnesota and retired as a major general a few years ago.
Well, it was great. It was an honor, and it's an honor to be with soldiers and soldiers' families, and I'm happy to help you to honor the soldiers' families, part of the reason that we're here.
We are, sir, and you also serve on the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Along with you.
Yes, sir. Can you share with our listeners and the crowd here at the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays a little bit about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, how it started, and what we do?
Sure. Started over 10 years ago. Bill Pop, Pop Communications, started it with a $250,000 contribution himself. It's raised millions of dollars in charitable contributions over the last several years. It's given grants to families in need, families of military members that are in need, not only National Guard, active duty, reserve, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whoever needs the help, the families of military members, usually a connection to military service. Typical grant is $1,000 to $2,000 or maybe $3,000. Furnace goes out, service members deployed, something like that. And the grant requests come in almost every day. So it's been a wonderful organization. As I said, started by Bill Popp, and you serve on the board of directors, of course.
General, in most states that they have active duty bases, there are relief funds from the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. But in Minnesota, the face of the military is the Minnesota National Guard. There's no active duty base here, so those relief funds really don't operate in Minnesota. And therefore, there was a need to help support some of the families of our service members, especially the lower-ranked ones when they're deployed. And, of course, over the last 10 years, there's been thousands of troops deployed from the Minnesota National Guard. So there's really a need here, isn't there?
There certainly is. And although you're correct, there's no active-duty military bases in Minnesota in any branch of the service. There are, of course, tens and tens of thousands of Minnesota citizens that are on active duty. So we've got the Guard, the Reserve that are based here, and these active-duty members from Minnesota that are serving all around the world.
And I think most of our listeners know that the Red Bulls just came back. 2,700 Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers served for a year over in Kuwait. And over the last 10 years, they've, I think, gone to 35 different countries and thousands of deployments. And a lot of those members were deployed multiple times, weren't they?
They've served with great distinction. A number of them have been decorated many times, some in combat and otherwise. We've sadly lost several members of the National Guard in overseas deployments that we grieve for. But they've been wonderful people, wonderful soldiers. We used to think in the reserves, I was in it, as you pointed out, for an awful long time. We used to think, boy, if activations occurred, if deployments occurred, that it would discourage people from re-enlisting, and that has not been the case. Enlistments are strong, re-enlistments are strong, National Guard's strong. Got great leadership.
We're speaking with retired Major General Harry Sieben, my co-host today on Minnesota Military Radio. We're broadcasting from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. General Beck, before you retired, you were acting adjutant general at one time, and there was a deployment, as I recall, went out while you were on duty. I'm sure you have some personal experience, not only with the troops that you deployed, but with their families back then. And it's a little different than it was 40 years ago. The military today does care about not just the soldiers, but the families, don't they?
Right. It's a lot different. The military cares, but the citizens of this country care a lot more than they used to. When you came home from Vietnam, Tom, I know that it's more than a few years ago, but I'm sure you remember very well that you were not warmly greeted by your fellow citizens of this country. And that attitude in the country has turned around completely, and it's been nice to see. People may not believe in the wars or the missions, but they believe in the warriors, and they like them, and they want to support them.
Well, certainly the nation has learned, and today we're doing a lot to support the troops and support the families. And as a Vietnam veteran, I'm gratified that the nation has learned and has changed.
You bet. We've learned some lessons.
General, in the second segment, we're going to have Mike Farron on from the Family Assistance Centers, and they're integral to the delivery system for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. But can you talk a little bit about the grants? And is there a memorable grant that has been given out while you've been on the board?
Well, there are many stories, some of them sad. But as I said, a typical one is a soldier or an airman or a sailor or a Marine or a Coast Guardsman is deployed. They may in civilian life have been making a lot more money than lower ranking military members make when they're on active duty. When they're gone, and their mind should be on their mission for the safety of themselves and the people around them. But when they're gone, many times their families, their spouse, and their children have a problem. Like I said, the furnace goes out, the car gets wrecked, something happens, something goes wrong, and a grant request is screened by Mr. Farron and his colleagues, and the typical grant solves an immediate problem. Maybe it doesn't solve the big picture, but solves an immediate problem, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000.
And General, it's I can imagine those troops that are deployed overseas, they're half a world away today with technology. They know there's a problem back home, and they've got to feel helpless about that. But then within a day or two with the Family Assistance Centers and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, the problem's solved, paid for. Must be great for them to know they live in a community that cares.
I think if you ask those service members and they don't want help or sympathy, but when they need it, I'm glad that they're, at least to some degree they can get it. And it puts them back on track with their mission.
General, we have to take a short break for some commercials. When we come back, General Sieben and I will be joined by Mike Farron, the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back, Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're broadcasting today live from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. My co-host today is retired Major General Harry Sieben, and General Sieben, we've been joined now by Mike Farron, the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers, and they're really critical to our efforts at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation because they're our delivery system. They do the due diligence. They speak with the families. They do all the work to make... we do the easy part. We raise the money, but he spends it, doesn't he?
And they do it fast, too.
I know they do.
We like to spend the money.
Mike, tell us a little bit about the Family Assistance Centers and your resources.
Well, the Family Assistance Centers, we have 11 locations spread out throughout the state of Minnesota. We provide all kinds of different resources. Just a few of them would be, obviously, emergency financial through the MMFF. Counseling options, marriage, family, youth. We handle pay issues, retirement issues, questions, ID cards, TRICARE benefits, alcohol and drug treatment options and resources to get people into the right spot. We also are your connection into the Yellow Ribbon networks throughout all the communities. And we do some employment resources also through DEED and their website.
So how do you reach out to the military families? How do they get to you?
You can go on our website, on the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon website, or you can call our 888 number, 888-234-1274. It'll connect you to your closest Family Assistance Center on a recorded line, and you press the right number. We always answer the phone 24/7, regardless of, you know, day, night, holiday, weekend, whatever. Somebody will answer the phone.
And you work with active duty, reserve, and guard military members?
We are 100% purple. It doesn't matter what color your uniform is. We will reach out and talk to you and try to gain any resources or any help that you may or may not need.
Now, when do you use the Minnesota Military Family Foundation? Give us an example.
Typically, the way that works is we want it to be the, I hate to say the final stop, but we want to be able to try to work through all of our possible resources before we get to the MMFF, because we want it to be the last thing that we really kind of seals the deal to get them their treatment or get them back on track, so we're empowering those families and not enabling families by just throwing money at the problem. So that's pretty much it.
Now, Mike, the military families are proud families. They don't reach out for help unless they really need it. And one of the things that we're adamant about is not using names.
Correct.
You meet with the families, figure out what kind of help they need, provide the help. And if it's some type of financial emergency, then you reach out to us.
Correct. We are 100% confidential, so nobody ever has to worry about being tagged or the name showing up anywhere.
And you've been sending grant requests to General Sieben for years, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
General, you got any questions for this man?
Well, I've seen his work, and I want to thank him for it. So well, you and your colleagues do a wonderful job of screening applications. And getting them to the right place. And we only see a small part of it, I know, that get to the MMFF. So thanks for all of it.
Well, we thank you guys because you make it easy for us, really. I mean, yeah, we do the behind the work, but we know that if it gets to you guys and we've done our due diligence, it's such a quick turnaround. And that's the key to this. You know, a lot of other states have to wait 6-8 weeks to get any kind of financial assistance to their service members, and that's not emergency in my world. So,
Tom, one other thing I think you should mention is there's almost no overhead on this MMFF process. And as we mentioned before, it's really speedy. An application gets in, and I don't know how long it, from the time when the paperwork gets to Mike's office until it's voted on by the board, but probably a matter of days and hours, a few days and a few hours.
Hours and days. General, it's my understanding that since 2004, we've given out over 1,000 grants totaling almost $2 million, and that historically our expense ratio in the 501c3 foundation is less than 1%. Mm-hmm. And I'm personally not aware of any other charitable foundation with that low of an expense ratio. And, of course, you and I serve for free, and we write checks, too.
Right.
General Mike brought in a couple examples of some grant requests, and I think there's a couple of things you want to talk about as far as when they submitted them and when they came back. And so I'm going to read one of these now, and you can make some comments, Mike. This is an example of a grant request that's been redacted so that we can protect the service member. But the service member was a Minnesota Army National Guard member, deployed to Iraq, and had numerous issues come up since returning that had depleted their savings. He's married with four children, had exhausted their savings, and their handicap modified van broke down. His wife is handicapped and requires a wheelchair, so getting the vehicle fixed to go to the doctor for appointments was critical. They were seeking a grant to pay for a repair of the van. He's working through the Family Assistance Center, and the staff feels that situation was caused by numerous things, and if they could get this grant, that they'd have their financials in order going forward. And Mike, it says here that you submitted this to us on a Monday at 9:34 a.m., and you had grant approval the same day by 12:45 at noon.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the quick turnaround, and that's the easy part for us. That's the fun part of us, is being able to call that family back within that hour, 2-3 hours, and go, you're golden, you're good to go, we got it fixed. So that's the big part for you guys.
We're broadcasting today from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays, where this establishment is helping us to raise some money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, where my co-host is retired Major General Harry Sieben, and we're speaking to Mike Farron, the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers. Mike, did you want me to read another one of these?
Sure. You got one more.
2 minutes left, so we'll make this one quick. This was sent in on a Friday, November 19th at 11:30 in the morning, and apparently we were slow that day. You didn't get approval until 1:45 that afternoon. This was a service member of the Army National Guard, deployed to Iraq. When he returned, he had issues readjusting and had to deal with them. Married with three daughters. Just when he thought things were starting to turn around, his wife was diagnosed with cancer and was out of work for 6 weeks, depleting their savings. She was cleared to return to work, but they were behind on their bills and had to replace the transmission on the car. I mean, this is a situation where just some terrible things happened to this family beyond their control.
Right.
And they came to you, and you came to us, and I'm sorry it took us a couple hours to approve that one, Mike.
Well, that's all right. It was Friday.
We got about a minute left, Mike. Is there another favorite grant request that came through, or anything else you want to tell our listeners?
Well, I think that the message needs to get out to the family members, and as well as the service members, is to don't wait until you're hanging off a cliff to ask for help or support. Reach out to one of our offices so that we can get things going before things become at the very end, where it's harder to help people. You know, proactive versus reactionary, and try to hide the pride just a little bit and reach out and ask for some help.
It's important for the service members to know that they'll be talking to you and your Family Assistance Center people. We've got 10 offices around the state.
Correct.
Most of the time when I see the grant request, General, I don't even read the name. I just read the story, don't you?
Yeah.
So we're happy to be working with you, and we're glad you're out there doing the due diligence and taking care of the families, and keep up the good work, Mike.
I'm not planning on stopping.
Thanks, Mike. That was Mike Farron from the Family Assistance Centers, who we work closely with for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Now it's time to hire Minnesota's heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran's story and ask you to help hire Minnesota's heroes. This week's veteran is Staff Sergeant Matthew Dugan, and he's with us. Sergeant Dugan, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I understand you're a Red Bull, and you recently came back from Kuwait.
That's
and you're
right.
Looking and you're looking for work.
Absolutely. Yep. I'm looking for work at any type of law enforcement, be it county or local. I bring a unique blend of strong academics and leadership and decision-making in a combat zone. I have a Bachelor of Science in Psychology, a Bachelor of Science in Law Enforcement, and a minor in Biology. So because of that, those two types of experiences, I feel like I bring a lot of different type of attributes to any type of police job. I was 33 months deployed, and 25 of those months were in a combat zone.
Sergeant Dugan, I hope you get a job real soon, and I hope one of our listeners calls you. That was Matt Dugan. He and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Matt, contact the Bloomington Workforce Center at 952-346-4000. That's 952-346-4000. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. We're broadcasting today from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. And coming up next, we'll talk with the founder of Founding Fathers, and we'll meet Lieutenant Colonel Matt Vatter. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're recording live today from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. Hey. Where they're helping us raise money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. In a moment, we're going to meet the founder of the owner of Founding Fathers Beer. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
Today I'd like to talk about new legislation in veterans employment that was signed into law by Governor Dayton that makes Minnesota the second state to allow private employers to grant veterans preference in hiring. 2012 Minnesota Session Law, Chapter 186, Senate File 1599, permits private employers to voluntarily establish employment preference for veterans and their widows. Minnesota continues to be a leader in veterans initiatives, and come August 1st, Minnesota business leaders can lawfully choose to advertise and grant veterans preference in hiring without violating state or federal anti-discrimination laws. This new law was a must-do in an effort to help our veterans get the jobs they deserve and has given private employers new opportunities. This pioneering effort is a tremendous asset for many Minnesota employers who want to hire America's heroes.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As we've said several times, we're recording live today from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. My co-host for the show is retired Major General Harry Sieben, and we've been joined now by the owner of Founding Fathers Products, Phil Knutson. Phil, a couple of minutes. Tell us about what you're doing and who's going to benefit from it.
Thank you, Tom. Founding Fathers Products was formed in 2009. We launched our first product line in November of 2011, Founding Fathers Lager and Light Beers. 50% of all the profits of our beer go directly back to support our military families. In every state where we launch, we partner with a military nonprofit to distribute and get to the soldiers that need it most. In Minnesota, we picked the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Tom Lyons Group, and what an incredible group they are. We were staggered by that figure. Tom mentioned that 99.9% of all dollars go back to actually support the troops. That is not common, as I have found on meeting with several nonprofits all over the United States. Tom's group does a tremendous job. In the brewing side of things, we've launched a domestic premium beer that competes directly with Belgian-owned Budweiser, Canadian-owned Coors, and South African-owned Miller. With the recent sell-off of the major breweries here in the United States, we thought it was time to launch an American beer that competed directly with them and donated 50% of all of our profits back to support our soldiers and their families.
Well, we're hoping you're doing real well and that a lot of people like the beer. General, you've tried it. It's pretty good stuff.
It's sold in Hastings, where I live, so I've tried it.
Phil, I appreciate what you're doing,
and
I hope
it's good.
I hope you sell lots of beer in Minnesota, because we want that half of those profits to go to the military families.
50% of the profits of all beer sold in this state will stay in Minnesota and go to the families that need it here.
Great work. I hope you're off to a good start, and sell lots of beer, Phil.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for joining us today. General, our next guest is Lieutenant Colonel Matt Vatter from the Minnesota National Guard, and he is our liaison officer between the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and he helps us out with all the things we're trying to do. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Can you tell us, as liaison officer, what all is involved in that, and tell our listeners how we try to work together?
Well, I'm responsible to ensure that you know what we know as far as deployments, demobilizations, soldiers that are in need, just all the stuff that's happening within the Minnesota National Guard and how the Minnesota Military Family Foundation can be linked in with all of the things that are going on a regular basis.
Colonel Vodder, we had a kickoff breakfast for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic a couple of months ago, and you were there with Colonel Jensen, and one of the things that really came out about that was over the course of the last year, the Red Bulls, you know, were deployed. There were 2,700 Red Bulls there. All of the media covered it, the newspapers, the radio, the television. They're home now. But one of the things you pointed out at that meeting was there's a lot of little deployments going on, and there's still a lot of troops from Minnesota out, active duty, reserve, guard. Even the 934th Air Force Reserve has four planes and 150 airmen out. So it's still going on, isn't it?
Yeah, we're getting to the time in our conflicts now where I think that we're going to lose a lot of the energy that we had with the large unit mobilizations. It's real easy, you know, to tie the yellow ribbon around a tree and wave the flag when we see super large formations of soldiers and airmen deploying all over the world. But now we have groups that are 8, 10, 15, 24, individuals that are going and still filling in with the active component over in areas of conflict. And those smaller groups have a tendency to get kind of lost in the cracks, if you will. So we need to make sure that we have a high visibility on all of our service members, whether it be National Guard Reserve, deploying in small units, and especially we don't talk about it much because Red Bulls have such a great profile in the state, but our airmen that deploy on a fairly regular basis and significantly more frequently than what most of us know about.
And even though they're going out in smaller groups and they're not getting the press, when those families have some problems back home and their loved one is deployed, that's some serious issues, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's tough for a family that develops a partnership and to have those partners responsible for various things that happen. I know with my wife, there's a lot of stuff that I do that she has no idea that I do, both probably good and bad. But when I leave, she doesn't necessarily she realizes all of the things that had happened, and many, many families are like that. So we're fortunate enough to where I have a strong wife who's very proud that even if she does need help, she won't go get it, which is like many of our military families. But there's a lot of folks out there that don't know where to turn, that don't have that network of support. And our family assistance centers, the Yellow Ribbon Networks, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and in large part our general communities that in which we live are there to help. And I'm telling you, as a soldier and as a guardsman here in the state of Minnesota, I couldn't be more proud of the community that we have and the support that we enjoy every single day. It's just fantastic. And you don't see it anyplace else in the United States.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Vodder from the Minnesota National Guard. My co-host is retired Major General Harry Sieben, and we're recording live from the TGI Fridays in St. Louis Park. Colonel, I know that you're also a brigade commander, and so you've got a lot of troops under you, and just how important is it to you as a commander and to your soldiers knowing that there's something out here like the Family Assistance Center and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation?
Well, not to correct you, Tom, but I'm a battalion commander, one step down. I appreciate the promotion.
Did I say brigade?
Yes, sir.
There's a promotion coming tomorrow, sir.
Yeah, that would be nice. It's so comforting to know that when we deploy as a commander, you have got a safety net for the soldiers or for the family members that are still back in the state. We can do our jobs a whole lot more cleanly when we're deployed, knowing that our families are taken care of on a regular basis. And that's it is one less thing that a commander has to worry about, having to work not only the problems that we see overseas and during a deployment, but all the things that occur during everyday life back here in the state.
So it's got to be good to know that your family readiness group, the county veteran service officers, the Family Assistance Center, all those resources are out there. And you actually put your soldiers through some formal training about what resources are available on the way out to deployments, don't you?
We do. There are formal programs that we have that we have to do that talk about all of those different programs. And our family members and our service members all have telephone numbers, websites, links, handouts, you name it, we provide it so that soldiers and families don't feel left alone during a deployment.
General, Colonel, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Colonel Vatter a little bit more about his battalion and his troops and their mission. We'll also be joined by Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard in the fourth segment. So this is Minnesota Military Radio, recording live from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and been joined today by my co-host, Major General Harry Sieben, and we've been speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Matt Vatter from the Minnesota National Guard, and we're recording live from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays, where they've been helping us raise money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and we even just had a customer come up, General, and throw some cash on the table that we'll have to turn over to the treasurer.
That's great. Good to see you.
You do good work, General.
I got a question for the Colonel.
Yes, sir.
Why is reenlistment so strong? Why is everybody signing up again?
Well, it's...
Nobody's getting out.
No, it's
they've been, we have been to the desert. They've been in 120-degree heat. They've been away from their families, but they want to stay in.
Pretty amazing service attitude in this state, isn't it, General? It amazes me every single day. In one of the roles that I play, I have to help to manage the strength of the Army National Guard in Minnesota, and we have a very, very unique problem. We have more soldiers than we have slots, and we are constantly looking for the best of Minnesota, their young people, and I am constantly amazed at the quality of the soldiers that we have, their commitment to service, and their willingness to sacrifice not only for the country but for the community as well. It's fun to see. Fun to see.
Oh, that's great.
Colonel, I have to apologize. I was in the Air Force, so when I promoted you to brigade commander, I hope that's coming soon. But you're a battalion commander. Can you tell us about your command, how many soldiers you have, what your mission is?
Absolutely. I command the 34th Division Headquarters and Headquarters Battalion. And what we do is provide all the support, logistics, administration for Major General Dave Elisario, the commander of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, and his senior staff. I have about 740 soldiers that are assigned to the battalion, and unlike some of the other battalions that you might have that are infantry battalion or an armor battalion that have a unique, specific combat mission, I have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 38 job specialties that are within the battalion, anywhere from cooks and truck drivers and mechanics all the way up to signal communications, satellite communications specialist, the wide variety of military job specialists that the Army has.
And Colonel, it's been a lot of years since I was in the 133rd in the Air National Guard, but we were weekend warriors back then, but you're citizen soldiers now, and your readiness status is amazing from what I hear.
Well, yeah, we enjoy a fairly significant rating. We're rated in the top five in the nation for National Guards in virtually every one of the areas that they rate. Our soldiers are well-trained. They're well-equipped. They maintain a high standard for physical and educational readiness, which are some of the keys to fighting our modern wars, if you will. The education level that we have in the Army in general and the National Guard specifically is pretty astounding when you think about it. We have probably about 65% of the soldiers that we have a college degree of some sort, and numerous with advanced degrees, master's degrees, PhDs and such that serve well, we like to say 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks during the year, and about 3 to 5 nights a week.
In general, these days, they're all volunteers. There was a draft when I was in, so the quality of the soldiers and airmen is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Not unusual at all to have an enlisted person with a college degree.
Quite common today. Colonel, I understand your unit was deployed in 09 and 10?
The Division Headquarters Battalion deployed with the 34th Infantry Division to Basra, Iraq. We left in February of 2009 and returned in February of 2010.
Been home for a while now, I hope. And, Colonel, you were also telling me about Community Service Day and the things that you do with the community here.
Well, one of the things that's important to myself and specifically to my soldiers is for our communities to understand that we are their guard. We want to be out in the communities, a part of the things that are going on. To do one thing particularly is to say thanks for the support that we've received throughout the multiple deployments that we've had. We can't do this stuff as a nation and as a guard and as an army. We can't do this without the support that the average citizenry has. I mean, our community is just that. We have to have everybody doing their job, everybody playing their role, and mutually supporting one another, and we want to give back. So specifically, Tom, during this last annual training period, we took a couple of days, and my unit, it has three armories, Rosemont, Minnesota, Invergrove Heights, and then down in Faribault. And with each of those units, we went out and we did community support events. We helped the Invergrove Heights Fire Department by cleaning and polishing some of their trucks. We went into the Invergrove community and did some park cleanup. We supported some events down in Faribault. Just spent time with our community members.
And Colonel, we're just about out of time, but I know I saw you at the Patriot Guard ride.
Yeah, we did. We had a group of soldiers that went up and helped out the Patriot Guard with crowd control, marshaling of the motorcycles as they came into the area. And wow, what a fantastic day. You said over 1,000 motorcycles that braved the storms in the morning to come out there. And then fortunately the skies, you know, became nice and blue, and we had a beautiful day. Yeah, it's a fantastic way to spend a Saturday.
Colonel, I want to thank you for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio, and what a great segue, because our next guest from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly, and he's standing right behind you.
Well, thanks, Tom. Hey, Doug, welcome, and thanks for being such a great host out at the event a couple weeks ago. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Matt Matter from the Minnesota National Guard. And now from the flag line, here he is, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Doug, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm sitting here at TGI Fridays with my founding father's beer, and what a great night.
Recording live from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays, raising money for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Doug, for those few people out there that don't know what you are, you want to tell them about the Minnesota Patriot Guard?
We're a group of volunteers, citizens, some veterans, some not, who at the invitation of a family will attend a funeral, at the invitation of a military unit, will attend a send-off or a welcome home. But in general, it's citizens. You don't have to be a veteran, don't have to have a motorcycle, just a willingness to stand there holding a 3x5 flag and a pole and saying, we appreciate what you do and what you've done, and welcome home.
And Doug, you've got an old friend here, Major General Harry Sieben.
Well, we don't get to see the general often enough. Well, good seeing you again, General.
Yep, and again, I've thanked you and your members many times, but it isn't always fun for you people, for you and your members, to be on the line at a soldier, sailor, airman, marine, coast guardsman funeral. And sometimes it's below zero and they're there. Sometimes it's 95 degrees and they're there. Sometimes beautiful day and they're there. But it's been, we all thank you. It's been wonderful.
It's never forget. It's about honor, dignity, and respect, General.
Well, you do a good job of it.
Doug, no. Just got a couple of minutes. What's going on with the Patriot Guard? What do you want to talk about today?
Actually, tonight what I'd like to talk about, Tom, is I got a letter from one of our members, just a member from the flag line. And what I'd like to read this letter. I wanted to share an experience with you that simply blew me away this morning. I normally ride into work, and this morning was no different. When I arrived and started securing my bike, a woman from the gas company approached me with a request for access to our meter. As I was finishing, I invited her in to find a key. She paused briefly and said, "Are you a Patriot Guard rider?" I should explain I was wearing a leather jacket void of any patches or pins. My bike had no distinguishing features except for the small American flag attached to it. By virtue of the fact that I was on a Harley displaying the colors, that alone, she was compelled to ask if I was a member of the Patriot Guard. When I told her I was, she approached me with her left hand with her hand extended and thanked me for my service. As we shook hands, she paused and said, "That's not going to do it," and she embraced me. She held tight and wept lightly for a short while and then started telling me about her encounter with the Patriot Guard while attending her nephew's funeral. She went into great detail with the overpasses and the procession routes and the cemetery lined with riders and citizens. This is one of the few occasions when the WBC actually showed up to protest, and the family was thankful we shielded them. What struck me as I listened to her recall from that day several years ago was the perspective of the family of our fallen heroes. When they look at up through the tear-laden eyes and see us, they see a true embodiment of the words that are doubtless echoing through their minds on behalf of a grateful nation. We know who we are and what an honor it is to be present at these missions, but the family doesn't see us. They see the United States of America in all its glory, and in that shining moment, they're at peace. In the years since I first started attending missions, I don't think I've ever appreciated how profound an effect we have on the families of our heroes. That a complete stranger deduces from a very obscure reference that I belong to this honorable group and further share with me the exact details of the events as though it were yesterday, I was a part of it. Sort of puts a stamp on what matters, really. The Patriot Guard is a bastion of a grateful nation. Carry on.
Great story.
Doug, I've told you this before, but I've experienced this with a relative who died, and it's a very emotional experience, and it's really about those three words, isn't it?
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Honor, dignity, and respect. Doug, thanks for everything you and your writers do. It's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity to talk about it and be with you all as well, and good seeing you again, General.
Thank you, Doug.
Thanks for joining us. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. We've been recording live today from the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays. You've been helping us raise some funds for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Mike Farron from the Family Assistance Center, Lieutenant Colonel Matt Vodder, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and of course, my special co-host for today, Major General Harry Sieben, Commissioner Larry Shelledo, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about the upcoming Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. That's next Sunday morning at 7 or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'd like to thank all the folks at the St. Louis Park TGI Fridays for helping us once again today. And I'm Tom Lyons, and as I'm signing off, I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.